First reading is from Psalms 149, beginning in the first verse. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at the 15th verse. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish others would do to you, so do to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated. To be completely honest, it wasn't until I served in my first church as a pastor that I ever really thought much about church membership. I had always been a member of a local church, and I had certainly lived out, very imperfectly, but genuinely lived out the responsibilities of a church member, but I had never thought about it. Now, perhaps you've been a member of a local church your whole life, or perhaps you have never been a member of a local church before. Wherever you are on this journey of faith with Jesus, it's worth taking a step back and thinking about this thing we call church membership, being a committed member of a specific local congregation. It's part of the journey for all of us, and so it's worth stopping to take some time to think about it. It's something we value here at Christ Church, and today we're going to have 20 people formally join Christ Church as committed members. It's an exciting day. But why is church membership, membership of a local congregation, why is that important? On today, All Saints Sunday, we celebrate that we have already been made God's saints through Jesus' work on our behalf. When we believe in Jesus, we receive his grace through faith. When we trust in him and what he's done for us on the cross, when that happens, we are joined with him. We receive his righteousness as our own. We are saints. For those of us that trust in Jesus, this is true of us who are in Christ. Through faith, we are already a part of the universal church. So why then would membership in a specific local congregation matter? So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at three things that church membership is not, so that we can then look at three things church membership is. As we celebrate All Saints Sunday, remembering the amazing truth that we are joined into God's family, joined and made his saints, we look at this one piece of our life together. So three things church membership is not, so that we can then look at three things that it is. So three things that it is not. First, membership in a local church is not salvation. Having your name on a list somewhere does not mean you are saved. The Bible does make clear that membership to some very real degree is very ancient, all the way back to the Bible itself, but it is not the same thing as salvation. Just by way of example, 1 Timothy chapter 5 gives instructions to the church on which widows should be included on the list of widows and which should not. There was certainly sufficiently formal membership that the church in the time of the apostles was able to sort of figure out, does this widow need to be included at this time or not? There was enough knowledge of who was a part of it that they could make such determinations. But we want to make very clear that membership in a local church is not salvation. Rather, the Bible makes abundantly clear that salvation comes only through what Jesus did for us on the cross, which we then receive by faith. The Bible says, repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that all who receive Jesus are given the right to become the children of God. It says that all who confess with their mouth and believe in their hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead will be saved. Formally joining a local congregation is not salvation. Being a member of a local congregation is a byproduct of our salvation, of our commitment to Jesus, but it is certainly not a prerequisite for salvation. Second thing that church membership is not, church membership is not a destination. The act of committing to a specific local congregation is not the end in itself. It's not a destination any more than the marriage ceremony is the destination of marriage. It's a step on the journey. Unfortunately, I have seen people view membership in a church basically as the end in itself. Once they go through the class, they sign the paper, they're formally a committed member of a local congregation, they think they're done and literally never came back. That would be a bit like joining the gym and never going because you think joining somehow accomplishes something. Church membership is not a destination any more than a wedding ceremony is the destination of marriage. Church membership is not a destination. It's a step on the journey. Third, membership in a local church is not a country club. It is not a pay your dues and get your perks kind of membership. It's not a way for you or me to get something extra. I tithe more than they do. Play the songs I like, thank you very much. That's not the way it works. It's not a country club. But it is also not a way for the church to get something from you. It's not like when you become a member, somehow more is expected. It's not like you can be a Christian, just not a church member kind of Christian, as if they're somehow different. Membership in a local congregation, I want you to think about this for a second. Membership in a local congregation does not actually add any responsibilities to you. All of the expectations that are that accompany being a member of a local congregation are already part of being a Christian. All Christians are expected to worship faithfully. All Christians need to give sacrificially of their time and their talents, their skills, and their financial resources. All Christians need to commit to growth in the Lord. None of this is extra for someone who commits to being a member of a local church. Joining a local church, rather, is a commitment to live out the biblical call and expectations that are common to all Christians. It's the commitment to live them out in a specific place with a specific church family. And that leads us to what church membership is. It's not salvation. It is not a destination. It's not the end in itself. And it is not a country club. So what is it? So three things that church membership is. First, membership in a local church is a place. It's the place where we live out the gospel. It has been said, I think very wisely, that the church is the gospel made visible. This is the place where we put into practice the new life that we have in Jesus. This is the place, this is a hard one, this is the place where we enact together forgiveness. This is the place where we learn to love people that we don't have to love, and we learn to love them until it hurts. This is the place we honor God through faithfully giving of ourselves and of our income and of our time and our talents. This is the place that we do that. It's the people that we commit to as family. This is the place where we learn to use what the Bible calls our spiritual gifts. This is the place where we live out the relationships that we're called to in the Bible. So much so that without being an ongoing, week in and week out, committed member of a local congregation, I don't see how we can actively live out the biblical relationships that we're supposed to live out if it's not in a context like this. We're going to watch a video here. Let's watch a video from Tripp Lee, who is a pastor in Atlanta.
One of the tough things about church membership, when we start to talk about if it's necessary or not, is it really something we have to do or not? One of the hard things is we're not going to find the phrase church membership in the Bible. We do see the word member, talking about being members of the body of Christ. But I think the way that I'm constantly trying to explain it at our church and when I talk about this, membership is a phrase we use that summarizes some relationships that we're called to in Scripture when it comes to the church family. So we know that Paul is writing to specific churches. When he talks about loving one another, he's talking about loving one another in those churches. So the first thing is it's assumed that these people are members of a particular church. He's writing to them. But the thing is, Scripture calls us to the individual Christian to have a particular relationship with elders, to submit to those elders, right? To sit under the teaching of those elders, to love those elders, to pray for those elders. And then those pastors have a relationship to that individual Christian. They're called to serve them, to teach them, to protect them, right? To show them the glory of God's word. And there's a relationship there that we're called to in Scripture. Not only that, the individual Christian to the other Christians in the congregation, right? They're called to commit to them, to submit to them. And these Christians are called to love them, right? To bear one another's burdens, to teach and admonish one another, to bear with the idle and the faint-hearted and the weak. And then that whole congregation has a relationship to those pastors, where the pastors, again, to teach that whole congregation. That congregation is to hold that pastor accountable, to sit under his teaching, to submit to him. And there are all these relationships and these commands that happen within these relationships within a local church that point to a kind of commitment, a kind of submission, a kind of love for one another. And the phrase church membership is a phrase that's used to summarize those commands. And because those commands are absolutely necessary, God has called us to them. We can't submit to all pastors everywhere. We can't, you know, bear every single person's burdens. Because those are commands given to specific communities, yes, church membership is necessary. And necessary not in the sense that you can't be a Christian if you're not already connected to a church, but God has called us to these particular kinds of commitments. Those are commands. So anytime I talk to a Christian, I don't. My main goal is to show them the beauty of church membership and what Scripture says about our commitment to one another.
As Christians, we are called to live out certain relationships between pastors and lay people, between individual Christians and other Christians, between more experienced Christians and new believers, between older Christians and children. And all of these necessary relationships that we're called to as Christians can't be lived out anywhere but in the context of a committed and faithful local congregation. Now, of course, it's possible to be a member in name only and not live out these relationships, and that does us no good. But this is the place where we can live out those basic biblical relationships. You can listen to a sermon on TV, and it will be better than the one you're listening to now, preached by a better preacher. I watch them too. But you can't know that pastor and have him care deeply for you. You can go to church A on one Sunday and church B on another and church C on another. But you can't bear one another's burdens, deeply loving one another in a Christ-like commitment, unless we're committed together, a part of a local congregation. The church, the local church, is the place where we live out, where we enact the gospel. Second, membership in a local church is God's plan. God's plan is not me, my God, and my Bible. Now, thanks be to God, God does save me. He is my God, and I can hold the Bible in my hands. What a joy all of that is. But it's important for us to remember that most of the promises of God to his people are to the collective people, not specifically to individuals. Now, we tend to hear them primarily as individuals, and then by extension, to the rest of the church. But that's actually biblically typically backwards. Certainly there are exceptions, absolutely. But most of the time, it's the other way around. The Bible's promises are mostly to the group, or to the assembly, as it said in our Psalm, Psalm 149 read today, or to the nation, to the flock, to the body. God's promises and blessing primarily are directed at the whole group. And because we are individually part of that group, they're to us as individuals as well. God's plan is to build the church. So we need to be a part of the church in order to properly receive his promises. John Wesley once wrote, To turn Christianity into a solitary religion is to destroy it. We need to be a part of the church because that's God's plan. And of course, you can go too far with that, and that certainly has been done, essentially forgetting the individual completely, and I'm not advocating that in any way, shape, or form. But especially in our remarkably individualistic and consumeristic culture, we need to take very seriously that we're part of something bigger. And our individual place is in large part defined by membership in the larger church. And we said before that church membership is not salvation, and that is absolutely true. And we also need to remember that as God's saved people, God's plan is to build his church. So we need to be a part of the church because the church is God's plan. It says in our reading from Ephesians chapter 1 that Jesus was given to the church. We must not avoid membership in a local church because this is God's plan. I've heard it said wonderfully. I've heard it said that being a Christian while refusing to be a part of a local church is a bit like saying, I love to eat, but I despise food. It just doesn't work that way. As Christians, we need to be faithfully, continually, deeply committed to the church and to a local church as a local manifestation of God's plan for the world. The church is God's plan. Third, membership in a local church is a process. It's a tool for the process of transformation. The local church is God's plan for our transformation and growth. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, gathering for worship, living life together, constantly spurring one another on towards love and good deeds, protecting one another in the midst of a fallen world, we are transformed by Jesus as we are committed members in a local church body. There was a Scottish minister who noticed that a member of the church had stopped going to church. Now, the pastor knew that this man followed Jesus and that this man had simply decided that actually participating in church, worshiping together, just wasn't that important anymore. And so the pastor visited him in his home. And the two of them sat in front of the fire. And at one point, the pastor reached out and picked up some tongs, reached into the fire, picked up one ember, put it out on the hearth, and the two men watched as it very quickly went out. He then quietly picked it up, put it back in the fire, and it immediately caught fire again. And with that, he put the tongs down and left. That man was back in church the next week. We need to be committed to a local church or the fire goes out. Personal, faithful, committed membership in the local church is a tool for our transformation. When I was preparing to get married, in our premarital counseling, our pastor asked us to read a book. I don't remember anything from the book itself, but I have never forgotten the subtitle of the book. The book's titled Sacred Marriage. Fine. The subtitle is, what if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? And I love that. And I quote that when I talk about marriage because it is absolutely right. Church membership is sort of like that too. Another book could be titled Church Membership. What if God designed church membership to make us holy more than to make us happy? As Christians, we are made God's saints. And as his saints, we are called to continual growth and transformation. And the local church is the God-designed place where we grow as his saints and experience his transformation together. So as we prepare in just a moment to welcome 20 new people who are committing to join Christ Church as new members, I want to leave you with two questions. Two questions to ponder. First question, if you are a committed member, whether here or someone else, but somewhere else, if you are a committed member, what step can you take to deepen that commitment? Perhaps you need to commit to coming to worship on Sunday mornings more regularly. Perhaps you're ready to participate in your small group on an ongoing basis. Perhaps you're ready to commit to serving using your time more than you have in the past. Perhaps you're able to give more this year than you have in the past. If you're a committed member, what step can you take to deepen that commitment to this place where we live out the gospel, to this thing, the church, which is God's plan, and to this tool for your transformation and for mine? Second question, if you're not a committed member, again, here or somewhere else, is it time to consider making that commitment and joining? Here at Christ Church, we'll have another opportunity to join this specific congregation sometime in the new year. But the question is, are you ready to commit to a place where we live out the gospel together? Are you ready to commit to joining God's plan for the world, the church, and the local church being the local manifestation of that plan? Are you ready to commit to God's intended tool for your transformation? If you're not a committed member here or elsewhere, is it time for you to consider making that commitment and joining? Through what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we are made his saints. And as his saints, we are joined into this amazing plan that God has for the world called the church, us. And as his beloved saints, who are part of this worldwide Christian church, we are called to join local expressions of that universal church, a local congregation. So on this All Saints Day, we welcome 20 new members who are committing to joining Jesus' church, but this specific branch of Jesus' church, which we will do now. Amen.